The Lord is good to us, isn't He? Hallelujah. Sunday we were studying about the name of Jesus. We're studying, "Let this mind be in you," and it was a quote that, as you have read it, that Brother Branham spoke about that on the forsaking all. And in paragraph 50, he said this: "Now, if that same God that wrote the Bible is in you, you are not your own. You are dead to the things of the world. You are dead to your own thoughts. And the mind that was in Christ being you, you there, you're forsaking all to follow Him, not your own thoughts. What He says, but my will, thine Lord." Then He says you begin to line up with God's Word and continues on. That's a beautiful thing, to die to yourself, isn't it? And let Christ rule. Probably this evening I'd like to have a special service. I do something different. I've done similar things in the church ages. But we'll be going back to the church ages, and we'll be studying, the Lord's willing, this night, the Sardis church age. And there's so much in it. I just believe in the infallibility of the Scriptures. Amen. You know, it's very hard to know the problem today of the people. And you know what it is? That's my opinion, of course. The people have left the basic Scriptures. If you notice, we're going to study Sardis church age. Luther didn't say the only come and be saved by faith, but he says the just shall live by faith. In other words, you're already justified, and if you want to maintain the justification, you have to continue on by faith. Now watch what's happening. The Scriptures are infallible. When you hear tapes or anything, I learn this: regardless of things that I don't understand them, if I cannot bring them to the Scriptures, I wait. If you cannot bring them to the Scriptures, just be patient and wait. I have a section in my library that I have only Bibles, different editions and different Bibles. And always I have in a corner there with them and a copy that I received from Nelson Publishing. You know, Nelson is the largest Bible publisher in the world. They are taking over now the American Bible Society. And Nelson sent me a Bible that he was going to release the last few years. And I started to be a proofreader. And you know, the first thing, when I got that Bible, I was nervous and I was shaking. Because the Scripture says if you take one word out of it, or write one word, your name will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And I look some things, and I'm sorry to say that's not a Bible. It's just looking at the people, what the people like, make a translation to sell it to make a few dollars. That's the bottom line of it. I stay, you can do anything you want to, I stay with the King James Version, the original King James. Now, revise and so on, that's fine, but I just stay with the King James. And I'll tell you, because of this church age is very important, I'll tell you what makes me to stay with the King James. You see, the King James Bible was translated in England after the Geneva Bible, 1500s. Then we have the King James Bible. Now, to understand some words, some people will take the Webster Dictionary and define a word, but you cannot get exact meaning like that. The reason is, Oxford will give you a better definition of what the word means than the Webster Dictionary. And the reason that you have this, you see, Oxford Dictionaries is for the English language. And if you watch Webster, it's for the American language. Our laws were written on the basis of Webster, not Oxford. And what I see there, I see some things that disturb you with the people, that they go on, and sometimes the conviction has been removed from the translations. And when I got this from Nelson, probably some of you, your Bibles from Nelson Publishing, I was shaken. I didn't know what to do and how to react. But you know, I'm thankful to the Lord that I stay out of it. Because if God is not in it, I have nothing to do with it. And the same way when I listen tapes, I wait. Amen. Don't be Mr. Know-it-all, but wait until God reveals it to you and you will see it in the Scriptures. Amen. If you don't do that, things you start dreaming yourself and you think you know the meaning and you keep on going, you think you know the meaning, you create so many doctrines and you go down the hill and then you have a hard time to come back because it's a spirit there. And you have to pray for the Lord to deliver you. Now, in the Scriptures we read in Revelation 3, if you go with me to the book of Revelation 3, we're going to read about a church age tonight by the name of the Sardis Church Age. We finished with the Thyatira, and now we are in the third chapter in the Sardis Church Age. And we read this, and unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, this thing saith he that hath seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but art dead. You know, we'll be getting into this very detail. But you can have a name that you live. I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, that you live. But unless you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are dead. Period, dead. And looking at this very important church age now, we went, of course, the first church age was Paul, and that was from 55 A.D. to 170. That message went that far. It doesn't mean that the messenger lived so many years, but the message was at that time. And the messenger is not alive today, but the message still lives. Amen. You know? And then we went to the second church age, which was the Smyrna church age, 170 to 312. Then the third church age was Pergamos, 312 to 606. That's Martin was there, the messenger. And then we went to the fourth church age. Now here you have in all these messengers, all these angels, an angel is a messenger, comes from the verb agelo, who means I have a message. Now, the messenger is total surrender to God, is dead to himself, and he is doing what God tells him to do. So the message and the messenger are one of the conditions. The messenger delivers the message that was given to him, and he doesn't change it. What God says, that's going to stay like that. Now, the fourth church age, you have that great man that I had a little conflict on that, 606 to 1520. That was St. Columba. The power of God was so strong on this man. He was so dedicated and so humble. Brother Harold Blatt from Prescott that comes down when he was teaching in London. He went over with Sister Grace to Ireland there, in the island of Newell, and cleaned the library of Columba. That's where Columba was. And you know, the man of God was so powerful. I mean, it was just a deacon at the time in an assembly. And they didn't have any wine for communion. And Columba picked up the jugs and went over fill them up with water, burn them in the front, lay his hands and pray, and make the water to wine. He says the same Jesus lives today.
Amen.
And Colomba, his miracles have about 200 pages. It was an amazing thing when Colomba was in the wilderness there praying, and there were two men, he started testifying to them, and these two got saved. And Colomba took a rock and hit them, kind of a rock there that was there, and he brought water out of it and baptized the man. He made a pool there. It's the same Jesus lives today. And God had done so many great things with Colomba. And I remember the time that there were two thieves and he heard a screaming in the wilderness where he was praying. There were two thieves and there were two other men. And the thieves pick up their big knives, the spears, and hit them right in the heart, and the two of them dropped dead. And Colomba heard the screams and ran over there and saw what happened. And he said, in the name of Jesus, drop dead to the two thieves. And he picked up the other two. He said, stand up, and the men leave. The power of God's the same, you know that?
Amen.
It hasn't changed. Now, we are approaching this church age, which is called the Sardis, and it's from 1520 to 1750. If you think about the church ages, think of this. The seven church ages are seven periods of time. That God sends a messenger there, or an angel. A messenger and an angel is the same thing.
Amen.
It's a man that God anoints to deliver a message, and he says, this is the message.
Amen.
And when you study this, I like to put it in a more simple way, is the real church history. Now, if you study about Nicaea Council 306 and 303, Constantine, and all these things, it's mixing up everything together, what happened. But in the scriptures, there are seven church ages. In seven periods of time, it's a pure history of how the church has failed and what they have done. It's not to study history. It's for you and I to take a warning. Not to do what they have done.
Amen.
Friends, this is not a history class. It's to be careful.
Amen.
Their mistakes were great. If you go to the scriptures now, when you were speaking in the second chapter, starting from Ephesus, the second verse, he says, I know thy works. Then continues down, goes to Smyrna. The ninth verse says, I know thy works. Then Pergamos, the 13th verse, I know thy works. Continues on, from there goes to Thyatira, the 19th verse, I know thy works. And then he continues to Thyatira, and comes down to Sardis, says, I know thy works, the first verse. With works, we don't please God. The works of faith, yes, but not our works to substitute faith. People who work to prove to themselves that they are spiritual, work for the Lord. It's wonderful. But the greatest thing of all is to let God work in you.
Amen.
We sometimes buy 500 or 1,000 trucks, and we don't know what we're doing. We give them around. It's God that saves, not us. All our works means nothing. It's God that does it. And now, we see Luther is at the time of the Reformation. But there was a person that prepared the platform for Luther to step in. And I'd like to spend a little time with that man. That man that was Savonarola. Savonarola was a great saint. Now, at we know on his way, Luther, to Nuremberg, he stopped and get his acquaintance with Savonarola, And he was a monk in Florence, Italy. The man was Geronimo Savonarola. Powerful man. Humble man. Savonarola had published many works, but the most famous of them was the Meditations on Psalm 51 and part of Psalm 31. If you look at your Bible on the top of Psalm 51, you find out that's the time that Nathan the prophet saw David and said to him, "You have sinned," and so on. This has been published. I think I make copies of that. And every household has a copy of that. I think, am I right? I think I did that. And when you see the work of Savonarola, sometimes gives you the feeling there was something wrong there. But you know, reading Psalm 51, if God reveals who you are, there is something wrong. And you need correction. And that's the psalm that David poured his heart out completely. Asked forgiveness from God. He says, "Forgive me, you know, and I will teach others so they don't fail in the same mistakes," and keeps on going. But now Savonarola, after he published that work, it was published also a translation into German, Italian, Spanish in Spain, one more language that I don't remember. The English copy that we're talking about, Cambridge University have done the work. In 1498, Savonarola died, and no less than 21 editions were known at the time of his work were published in many languages and many places, and reprinted again. 1522, Martin Luther published an exegetical work of the Book of Psalms 51. And Martin Luther acknowledged Savonarola for the great work that the man has done in his cell. Now, this work was given in Italy. It was given for consolation to prisoners that have been condemned to death as an encouragement. The prisoners were reading it because they were going to die. Later, the distribution became so wide in Italy because there were so much materials that everybody wanted that book, Psalm 51. Because really, when God convicts a man and a woman, and you relate to Psalm 51, it's a wonderful thing. Because there he speaks about everything, David. Now, Savonarola was considered the witnesses of the truth and was named later the Luther of Italy. But now, Savonarola is preparing the platform where the messenger of the Sardis Church Age, Luther, is going to step in. When I say a platform, he's preparing the environment, should I say, that Luther is going to step in. Remember, Catholicism was taking over at the time. Savonarola started preaching the same year that Luther was born. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Now, when Savonarola was preaching, the Spirit of the Lord was so strong that a person had to get saved or run away. There wasn't babysitting. There wasn't commercials. There wasn't programs. There wasn't religious entertainment either. It was pure gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like that, don't you? The power of God was so manifested in every meeting, healings, repentance, salvation, and the Holy Spirit. Powerful man. As Christ in him make him a powerful man. Now the people were so convicted and dedicated to God that they brought all their worldly customs. You remember in Florence, they had all these parades that they used to have, and color customs and instruments and everything. The conviction was so great that the people brought in that square there, all their instruments, all the artwork, what today would be billions of dollars. Dr. Emmanuel, remember this. Italy, there's a spirit there of artwork. Michelangelo and so on. All of them were there. And they brought all of them there, their customs, their instruments that used to play for the world. They brought all their artwork and start a big bonfire. They burn anything that has nothing to do with Jesus. And then there were white gowns. And they marched the streets of Florence preaching and singing unto the Lord. Florence was burning in a revival. When you see these things happen, there's something else happened there, that at the time the Pope was disturbed about the power of Savonarola and the publicity. And Savonarola, of course, he didn't care. And the Pope ordered him to come down to see the Pope. He says, come down, I will see, give you the red hat. That's a cardinal. And Savonarola says, the only red blood that I know, the blood of the saints that you have killed. That's something, isn't it? Backbone, yes. Today, who claim to be soldiers of the cross, and I call them Boy Scouts of the cross. And then he denied that. He ordered them back, Savonarola, to come down to Rome. It was the beginning of the year, about springtime. Savonarola said to the Pope, thus saith the Lord, before the end of the year, you're going to drop dead. And the Pope died. He wasn't messing around with anybody. He knew one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Hallelujah.
Period. Now, in our study, we have the Church of Sardis, Revelation 3:1. The name Sardis that appears means Prince of a Song of Joy or That Which Remains. There are two definitions there. Like I said in Revelation 3:1, we read, and to the angel of the Church of Sardis write these things, saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Remember, the scripture didn't say that the seven spirits of God and the seven stars are in the Sardis church age. It's he that had them. Not them, but he. That's God. To understand better about this, probably you have to go to the last verse of the first chapter there of Revelation, which says this, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, in this book, The Sermon of Sardis, Brother Branham speaks about that. He asks this. You might wonder who the seven stars are. It's the seven messengers of the seven church ages. See, he said.
Amen.
Now, in each time that the star came in on the scene, the Holy Spirit came down and anointed the star and kept it just exactly like the first one was.
Amen.
The gospel hasn't changed. Was salvation by the blood in the first church ages, was salvation by the blood in all the church ages, regardless of what we're going to say. People put their name on the book, they do this and that. As far as God is concerned, that means nothing. We're wasting paper and we're wasting ink. You know why? The scripture says, who have their names, he says, in the Lamb's Book of Life, when? Before the foundation of the world. The rest of it is man ideas. Put your name on the book, you're a member. You see, we're not members, we are born again believers by the blood of Jesus. That's what I like. Men have searched this earth, and he's always restless. Watch especially the older people move to Sun City, then they move out of Sun City. Some of them are happy, something happens, I miss my grandkids, I'm going back, or I'm getting older. You see, men are searching from location to location, and sometimes you know why? Because Christ is not in us as deep as supposed to. If Christ was in us as deep as it's supposed to, we'll say, Lord, what you want me to do, where you want me to be, and you'll be happy. But the people are searching. The people are looking for something, sometimes that doesn't exist at all. They are frustrated. And the worst thing that the Christians have done, they put the scriptures away, number one, by using translations that they are not scriptural, you know, they're twisted. And number two, taking doctrines, and then they don't test the doctrines by the scriptures. This man said this, and today if you have a voice and you scream, you have some following. The man of the hour. There's no man of the hour, it's the Holy Ghost of the hour, that's all.
Amen.
Rest of them, let them sit down.
Amen.
Now, if you notice, it is he and not Sardis Church Age that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars.
Amen.
And look how beautiful it was put in this book here, the Sardis Church Age. He says, you might wonder who the seven stars are. It's seven messengers of the seven church ages. Now, and each time that the star comes, it is on the scene, the Holy Spirit comes down and anoints that star. The Holy Spirit. And kept it just exactly like the first one. We have one Holy Spirit only. I know it's the first messenger, I know it's the second, third, fourth, all the way down. It's the same Holy Spirit that comes all the way down. We don't have the spirit of that, the spirit of that. We don't have one Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have one Bible. Everything is a revelation to the Scripture. But God now, when we look at this, the definition of the seven spirits, we read them in Revelation 1. Now in Leviticus, watch this now, Leviticus 16:13. Let's open and look something there. Leviticus 16:13. We have here the time that Aaron used to go to the holy place. And look what happened. 13 verse and 14. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of the incense shall cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. Now he enters into the holiest of all, okay? Here he comes in. He had to have this incense. There was coals with different spices that smelled. And he used to shake that until the room was full of smoke before he can enter in. Because he couldn't even look at this box, we'll see in a minute. He says, lest, you know, he die. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Listen. Here he has the blood in a container in here. What he does? He dips his finger in the blood. He sprinkles it. Am I right? He dips his finger again. He sprinkles. Again, seven times. Why? Seven church ages, one blood. You remember, he doesn't bring different jars of blood. One blood of Christ. It's a type of Christ. And he sprinkles the same blood of salvation for every church age all the way down.
Amen.
And after he does that, and start, of course he has a sacrifice for himself and his family first, and then what he does, the scripture said to Aaron, The 17th verse, if there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes to make the atonement in the holy place until he comes out and makes and made an atonement for himself and for his household and for the congregation of Israel. Now watch this. There shall be no man. He's the high priest, am I right? You know, no other man is permitted but just the high priest. God doesn't permit crowds there. The best preacher and so on. There's one high priest that we have, that's Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
No other.
Amen.
And when you see what happens here, no man can get any glory out of that salvation because that's the covenant now with the blood. Because no man shall be there except the high priest, and the high priest is the type of Christ in the book of Hebrews, and he says the high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Regardless of who you are and who I am, without mercy you are lost. The mercy seat was there, and listen to what happens. Aaron comes in. He can't even look at the mercy seat. Smoke around, he couldn't see. He dips his hand in the blood once, twice, three times, all the way down seven times. We're speaking about the seven church ages of the New Testament. One blood, the blood of Jesus. But if you watch that within the golden covered ark of the covenant, was number one, the Ten Commandments. You agree that's the word? Amen. God gave that word to Moses. Regardless of how much of the word of the hour you have, you need the blood. Because if you approach the word without grace, it will kill you like that. People sometimes say, we don't need the blood anymore. We need the blood every minute of our lives. We need the forgiveness of the Lord every minute of our lives. We need all these things. So when I hear the people say, we got the word now, we don't need anything else. I said, brother, here's the word in the ark, but it was a lead on the top, which was the mercy seat. And in that mercy seat we are talking about now, the blood has to be shed there.
Amen.
Why? Because you drop dead. That's why the scripture says, if you don't do it, the blood will keep you. I love the scriptures, don't you?
Amen.
Everything is in a harmony.
Amen.
Also, I'm not getting into tonight, was the golden pot of manna. That's the heavenly manna, you know that?
Amen.
Never spoiled there. You know what's the type of the manna that we eat? The word. That's how we sustain ourselves, by the word of God. And also, it was Aaron's rod that budded. That rod, if you check Calvary, it's actually, the crosses have many meanings. It can be like that, can be like that, can be like that, can be like that. Any way you want to do it, he that hangeth upon a tree is a curse. That's what the Hebrew says. All these, the word, the food, and the cross of Calvary were types in that box. But you know what? You cannot go to God and say, God, I want you to answer me. If you are not saved, God expects salvation from you. And salvation first by the blood of Jesus. Once and you get saved, what happened? We put it like that. The absence of sin is the presence with the Lord. Your sins are removed. Just listen. How they can be removed? Because Christ, the innocent blood that was shed at Calvary, was for you and for me to remove the guilt out of us, and we call it justification. It's a judicial word, but that's what it means. That you go to the court, and you stand in the court of justice, and the judge finds nothing against you.
Amen.
It's like the old Latin courts, rectus judici ferri. Their records have been examined. There's no guilt.
Amen.
You're free.
Hallelujah.
Now God cleanses you. But you live in this life, and this life will kick you around more than you realize. The other day I was thinking about children. I says, you know something? I'm guilty. I don't pray enough for the children. And I like to put Monday nights so much time just for the kids. They're growing up in a sinful world that they can pick up spirits and everything else, and they need more prayer than we realize.
Amen.
Regardless of how innocent they are in the devil's territory. So, after God cleanses you, sanctifies you, what's that? Purifies the vessel. For what? He has to bring His Spirit in you. And He fills you with the Spirit. Then you get a hold of His promises. What promises, Brother David? He will convict you. He will reprove you from sin. That's what it says. It's a beautiful thing to have conviction. You know, people don't like conviction, but if you have it, God bless you. It's a great blessing. You know, people ask for blessing, money and this and publicity and all that stuff. When God gives you repentance and convicts you, just jump for joy. Have a big hallelujah going. Because if God gives you repentance, that means the answer for that repentance is right there. So when you look at what God is doing, now He fills you with the Spirit, and we know in Ephesians that in filling you with the Spirit, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by which you have been sealed.
Amen.
That word are our own, who means engage with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know by the Holy Spirit here you engage to your bride, a groom, which is Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And you know, we break our engagements. We break our marriages. But you know what? Jesus never breaks His engagements.
Amen.
It's a commitment by Him. I'll come and pick you up.
Amen.
Regardless of what it is, I'll pick you up.
Hallelujah.
We got everything in this word. You know that?
Amen.
Everything. So now this that you see in Leviticus 16, is a type. And when you see that type there for the seven church ages, the seven stars, it's not, the Old Testament is not for the old, it's the types, what happened for the new. And I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus, because without the blood, friends, all of us are in trouble. So now the high priest comes in. He got the bells down on his gown, and the bells were ringing. Glinging, gling, glinging, gling. You know what that means? The high priest is still alive. He hasn't dropped dead. And the people were listening. They say, hallelujah. My sins are brought before the holiest of all. Before Jehovah. Hallelujah. Imagine there were Jewish people weeping and crying the blood. And you know what? When Christ came, they crucified Him. Just all the types that they had and everything. The scripture tells us in the book of Acts, those that read the scrolls every Sabbath day, those are the ones that crucify Him. You think of it. They were reading the Old Testament, they were telling them what it is, and they crucified Him. So the high priest, you know, they were hearing that incense. Gling, 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 gling. And the bell. Blang, 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 blang. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This little mama sits outside listening. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you. Thank you, Jehovah. After the sacrifice was finished, high priest walks out. What happened? Praise Jehovah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our sins are covered. Now, Jesus forgave and wiped out.
Amen.
The Old Testament was only covered.
Amen.
You know? Praise God. It's accomplished. what you have there. He had to go to that room. He had to cover himself with that smoke of the incense because he wasn't even allowed to look at it. He would drop dead.
Amen.
And then what happens? If I will illustrate the way that I read it from manuscripts, if it's right here, the Ark of the Covenant, he will walk in with the incense like that, fill up the room, he won't look at it. He puts his hand like that, feels the blood once, two times, three times, all the way seven times. Then what happened? Everything, he's alive, praise the Lord. He put his life between life and death there. You don't play around with that, you know. You better. He had to put a sacrifice for himself and his household. Not only that, put himself and the household, because Job speaks about if the children have done anything, he asks forgiveness from God for his own children. The blood to cover his own family also. There's so lots of things there. You don't know where your son, your daughter have been a few hours ago. You look at the minister of the church, you don't believe it. You don't know where they have been. And God now, the high priest comes out. In the book of Hebrews, Paul takes it, if you believe that Paul was the author of that, and writes on the 9th chapter of the 10th chapter of Hebrews about, he says, without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin, period. So what do you have? The word? Fine. You got the word? I got the word. But without the blood is judgment. With the blood becomes grace. You see that? So I'm thankful to the Lord for start getting at the Sardis church age. And we'll see the mysteries there, especially when we continue down. And we'll be reading portions of scriptures, and I will not spend so much time in history. But in closing, the tonight service, I look at my library, and I know I had two volumes of Savonarola, very old, and they are gone, so I don't loan any more books. Because they never return. Books have wings, you know that? They fly, and you never get them back. This was written in 1843. The Life and Times of Girolamo Savonarola. For Savonarola, right before, by the way, I don't think I mentioned that, they burned the man's stake. They condemned him as a heretic. And in Florence, there's a copper item about that big in the middle of that square. I stood out and I looked at it, and I walked the streets where they used to walk, where Savonarola died. When they condemned him as heretic, 30 days before they kill him, they stick him in a pole up there, they put fire underneath him, they burn the man alive, the Catholic Church. But you know, strange things. You read some of the old manuscripts, 1600 and before. And I don't know too much about the different orders of the Catholic Church, but although Savonarola died, there was a group of some kind of a, should I call it, some kind of a group there that there were Catholic monks and Catholic nuns. And the order of that, I just read it and I remember that. There were the Dominicans of the Roman Catholic Church. Although the Pope ordered Savonarola to be killed, Savonarola was their hero. They admire him for the stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, there are many nuns and monks that they do what they can. Be thankful to the Lord that the Lord revealed to you his word. Amen. We don't have time to read some of the portions of what he said on the last days of life, but it's a beautiful thing, and the Lord's willing. This is October. If I go back east, I'll try to look if there's a Latin copy available to Xerox it, and then the brothers can Xerox for themselves about Savonarola's life. It's a beautiful thing to have, you know. It's a great demand. See, it's a great encouragement. I mean, you read that and you feel that something takes your life in it. Psalms 51. He takes every verse and makes the comments and keeps on going. You know, it's actually what it is, a commentary of Psalms 51 and Psalms 31. What's up, an Aroha husband? I hope you enjoy the study. Amen. I yeah, hope you got something out of it. The Lord is real, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. I like for us to sing that chorus. And the burden of my heart roll away. And I'd like to ask Brother Gordon to close us in a word of prayer. Amen. At the cross, where I first saw, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and I am.